John Hanson in for Bob Surratt, taking you up until 9 o'clock here this morning. Thanks so much for spending some of your Monday morning with us. We certainly appreciate it. And as always, we'd love to chat with Mr. Dean Richards, who's actually joining us from Douglas Park this morning. Right, Dean?
Yeah, we're doing some TV remote live shots from the first of one of the sites for the AIDS Run and Walk that begin this week. Today, this afternoon, they're doing socially distanced running and walking here at Douglas Park. Instead of the, you know, thousands and thousands of people who come down to Soldier Field for this, as has been done, you know, since the AIDS crisis began, what they've done is spread things out this year to these little mini walks that'll take place. Today it's Douglas Park. They're in Lakeview. They're in Uptown. They're in Hyde Park. They're all over the Chicago metropolitan area. And they're also doing virtual walks. So you can go to their website and sign up to do virtual walking. You can do it on a treadmill. You can, you know, just make a donation, too, to the AIDS Run and Walk, because even though the crisis for AIDS is different than it was when it first began in the 1980s. There are medications now which makes it a controllable disease, much like diabetes. People are still in need of housing and food and all kinds of services and advocacy. That's what the AIDS Foundation of Chicago provides. They're the beneficiary group of the walk. So yeah, if anyone is interested, you know, you can come out to Douglas Park this afternoon and do the mini walk or any of the walks that are going on during the week. The locations and schedules and places to make donations, you know, your virtual walk is all at AIDSRunWalk.org, AIDSRunWalk.org for information. Tremendously great organization, great cause that I've been involved with, you know, since the beginning of all this.
Yeah, and Dean, you mentioned how important it is. They're still, obviously, they're continuing to counter the stigma of living with HIV/AIDS. You talk about HIV/AIDS rates still prevalently high among young people, especially African-American men, and I know that the communities are continuing to try and work on making sure that people get tested and all those sorts of things, but this, you know, it may be on the back burner of the news headlines, but still incredibly prevalent in a lot of different communities.
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is. I mean, and that on top of COVID-19, you know, people who are living with HIV and AIDS are living near normal lives in the most part for people who do get tested and, you know, do learn their status and so forth. But then you throw COVID-19 on top of all of this, and you've got, you know, another crisis on top of another crisis. So the need is still very great to, you know, help people. That's really what this is about, is helping people who are in need right now. So AIDSRunWalk.org, you know, whatever you can afford, you know, it'd certainly be appreciated, and the money goes to such a good use.
Obviously, you've always been able with all of these sorts of events to walk if you choose, but I always appreciate when they put the word walk in the name of the event so they know that, you know, you don't have to run. Walking is a perfectly acceptable alternative that a lot of people should be able to feel no guilt about strolling along if that's what you choose to do.
Right. I mean, for me, it's been AIDS Run Walk Shuffle, you know, because, you know, I like to tell when I've done it, you know, when I've had time to actually do the walk, sometimes I've had to go do my hosting duties and then get on the air right away. So I've not been able to do that. But, you know, when I've done it, it's, you know, it's along the lakefront. It's, you know, usually a beautiful day. And, you know, let the ambitious people do their 10K running and their 5K. I'd rather be one of the people enjoying the day, enjoying the lakefront. We're all still going to make the same amount of money, you know, right, for the organization at the end of the day.
Yeah, I always love waving at those people, you know, give them an elbow bump, power to you. Maybe you add a meander in the name, too. That would be me, a little stroll. But whatever it does, it's obviously all for a good cause. Dean, before we go to break, can you give that website or where people can find more information one more time?
Yeah, it's easy to remember. AIDS, runwalk.org. AIDSRunWalk.org.
That's great. All right, continuing the conversation with Dean Richards, who's out at Douglas Park for the AIDS Run and Walk Chicago. Dean, before we jump into entertainment news, I just want to say I got a chance to watch your moving tribute to your mother cooking her dish on Channel 9 last week. What a sweet way to honor your mom and her Greek lasagna.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. Yeah, I made on my cooking segment on TV last Wednesday. My mom died about 10 days ago now. And, you know, she loved cooking. She loved baking. That was her passion. And she would have liked nothing more than me, you know, trying to cook her favorite dish, this Greek lasagna dish called pastizo. She did it a different way than most people do it. So I tried to replicate her recipe exactly. And while it's one of the most time-consuming things that I've ever made in my life, it was so worth it. It came out exactly like hers, and I couldn't have been happier with the way that it turned out. And I know she would have been happy. She always took a lot of pride when she saw me cooking on TV and, you know, kind of living out her passion of, you know, cooking and baking as well. So that's very, very nice of you to say that. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, of course. I just think that, you know, there's certain senses that can bring loved ones back to you. And even the taste of something that your mother used to make is certainly one of those things, Dean.
Sure. By the way, Gino, I'm going through things at her house right now, John. If you know anyone that needs 100 margarine containers, or I got like 10,000 Splenda packets that she stole from restaurants over the years. Those got it available. That's all I'm saying.
You can put them up on eBay. See what happens. 10,000. Someone wants it.
Right.
For every seller, there's a buyer. I'm sure I heard that somewhere.
Yep.
Well, Dean, like any good entertainment story, let's start with Jennifer Aniston's Instagram, because apparently she's breaking records.
Well, she a year ago, she joined Instagram for the first time. And, you know, it was big news because in about 5 hours, she got a million Instagram followers. She broke the record for the most Instagram followers in, you know, less than a 24-hour period. And all of that held true until over this past weekend when somebody broke Jennifer Aniston's record.
Uh-oh.
Not a celebrity, not a reality star, not an athlete, nobody like that. It's the most unlikely person to beat the record. And it's 94-year-old Sir David Attenborough, who is a British naturalist. He has done radio and television shows for most of his life in the UK about the environment and climate and wildlife, and, you know, just beautiful things like that. And so he went on Instagram for the very first time because he feels like the world is in a crisis situation. He was actually on 60 Minutes last night. They did a piece on David Attenborough last night in which he talked about some of his concerns. So from over the weekend when he first joined Instagram, he got a million followers in 4 hours and 44 minutes, beating Jennifer Aniston. As of this moment, Sir David Attenborough, 94-year-old Sir David Attenborough, has 3.9 million followers on Instagram. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible. And I imagine, you know, look, 94 years old, but like you said, all his documentaries at least include some part about how your world is changing quickly. You must see it as a great opportunity to reach a new generation of people, I mean, who are already engaged in this topic, but to provide a little bit more context and keep awareness up.
Yeah, so I think exactly why he did that. He said he wanted to get his message out in a new medium. So as he put it, I'm trying out this new medium called Instagram. And he's got like almost 4 million followers already in just a few days.
I'd watch a documentary of him describing the different social media platforms and how we as humans interact with them. Here we see a 48-year-old woman logging on to Facebook for the first time.
Observe the human form as she grabs the mouse pad. Right. He just has a, you know, a wonderful way. Obviously, very beloved for so many people to want to follow him and learn from him. You know, of what he has to say right now. We've also got some celebrity baby news to report.
Oh, yeah.
This morning. The reports are that Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake have a new baby. They didn't announce it, but Justin Timberlake's former NSYNC bandmate, Lance Bass, did an interview in which he revealed that they had a new son last July.
Oh.
They just kept it quiet this whole time. So he didn't give any details, anything more than that, which, you know, it's pretty big detail to spill like that. But
yes.
he didn't give any more specifics than that, saying that Justin would kill him. The parents, Justin and Jessica, have not confirmed the story at all, but that's the report according to Lance Bass. And also this morning, it's just reported that Joaquin Phoenix and actress Rooney Mara have just had a baby boy as well. So congratulations to our new celebrity parents. There's also a word this morning of Michael Jordan's Highland Park mansion being used for a video shoot. Do you know the rapper Travis Scott? Oh. He's a pretty big name in rap music, if you follow that.
I think they just named a McDonald's dish after him. That's my only entry point into him.
Very, very nice. I don't know if you know your rap music,
nope.
But you are very well spoken on McDonald's menu.
For sure.
Which is very nice. He wanted to shoot a new music video for his new album. So, you know, like any of us, just picks up the phone and calls Michael Jordan and said, "Hey, can I use your house to shoot my new music video?" And, you know, house is an understatement.
Right.
It's a mansion in Highland Park. And Michael Jordan said yes. They allowed him to come in on this new Travis Scott video. You see the number 23 gate that we've seen so many times on the news. You see the inside of the house. You see Michael Jordan's personal indoor basketball court that he has. It's got his kids' names are imprinted in the basketball court, and Nike shoes apparently were everywhere because Travis Scott is also a spokesman for shoes, and that was also part of the shoot. So you know, you can look for that if you're following, you know, your rap video artist. You'll be seeing that. Perhaps the motivation for this for Michael Jordan was that the mansion is for sale right now.
Forever. It's been up there forever, it feels like.
It has been on sale for a very long time. And so if anyone's got like $15 million to spend right now, Michael's looking for a buyer.
I got to say, when I look at the pictures of the inside, I mean, it's a gorgeous place. Don't get me wrong. I would take it. It needs some work, though, on the inside. It's a little out of date.
Little 90s.
A little too 90s for me. A little bit of strange couches, you know, interesting windows that don't quite work for me. I'm just saying that if he just put a couple hundred thousand on the inside, that thing would sell a little faster.
Right. Some contact paper up somewhere to, you know, clean up some of the surfaces. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like, and I'm guessing after watching that documentary, The Last Dance, that the house also stinks of cigar smoke.
Yes.
Also.
Exactly. And whatever drink he was drinking around spilled on the carpets a little bit, because there's too many carpets. Carpets are out, Michael Jordan. Got to get out those carpets. Hardwood floors.
You played on some interior design.
Yes. Exactly. Hey, Dean, we only got about a minute left, and this is kind of a loaded question, but this is what I'm wondering. The pandemic, we've survived because we've been able to stream a lot of new content. I know they're back up and filming with a lot of different rules. Is there going to be a giant lull for a while where we don't have new stuff as this stuff kind of comes back into place?
I think a lot of stuff was already on hold. I mean, there were lots of movies that were scheduled to come out, excuse me, in the spring and summertime that were ready to go that have been put on hold. So I think that, you know, because fewer people are going to be allowed into theaters for a while, theaters are not going to be up and running the way that we once knew them, maybe ever, but certainly for a very, very long time, capacities are going to be greatly reduced. So I think some of the movies that have been on hold will fill that void that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places are back up and running and filming again very, very, very cautiously. But I don't think that there's going to be any a shortage of material for quite a while.
Okay.
You know, because we've got, you know, there are plenty of movies that are coming out every single week on online platforms right now. This week, I'm going to be talking about this more later on in the week. But can you hear that horn beeping?
Oh yeah, that's always great when someone runs the horn on when you're on the air.
It sounds like somebody's burglar alarm went off. I love that. That's just to prove that I really am outside somewhere.
Yes, yes.
There's this movie that's called Boys in the Band, a remake of a very, very Tony Award-winning play that has been adapted for the big screen that stars Jim Parsons and Zachary Quinto and Matt Bomer and just a whole list of incredible actors.
Right.
That I'll be talking about more of that, but that's just one of the new things that will be coming out.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Dean. Thanks for joining us.
See you, John.